Grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to St. Paul Borcher's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we pause in the busy time of our lives to take a moment to reflect and meditate on the scripture reading for the day. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for today comes from the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. So I remember when I was a kid, long, long time ago, right, that whenever I found something that I thought was odd that we did in our culture, in our society, I would always ask my parents, well, what if we didn't do it that way? And the response I normally always got was, well, Quentin, this is the way the world works, right? I think that's a go-to that we have a lot for our kids and young people when they give these new ideas of how to approach the world and society as a whole. We kind of just say, well, that's not how the world works. And I think a great example of how that gets played out that really shows how what that phrase does to us in our lives today comes from the life of Frederick Douglass. He was an abolitionist and a former slave down in Charleston, South Carolina, who escaped slavery to find freedom in the North. He dedicated his life to the cause of ridding America of slavery and bringing freedom to all the enslaved. And he wrote an autobiography where he documents his life as a child slave growing up in Charleston, South Carolina. And what we see in his writings is that he would normally play with the white children, the slave owners' kids, playing with the enslaved children. And what Frederick Douglass always remembered is that these kids would tell him, well, Frederick, I would never do that to you. I would never want to own another human being. They always promised him growing up that they would change the system, they would change the culture and bring that freedom to the enslaved. But it's also in that same autobiography that Frederick shares that all of those children grew up to become slave owners, just like their parents. I think what's so powerful in that story, though, is that what we see is as children grow up, they're more open to doing things a different way. They're more open to that change in the world. But I think like we see in that example of Frederick Douglass, our culture, our society forms us, forms our children and young people to think and act a certain way in the world. But what we see is that we can't come together with people we disagree with. We can't have fellowship with people who aren't like us. That we can't help those who cannot help themselves, no matter what they're going through in life. That ultimately, the way the world works is we have to look out for ourselves because there's no one there to help us. This very dark and bleak way to see the world. And what we find in the book of Acts as it shares the story of the early church and the apostles after Jesus is that the culture and society of that time wasn't very different. It formed and taught people to, again, think and act in those similar ways about the world. That you can't have fellowship with people who are different. Jews can't reconcile with Greeks and Romans. That Jews and Christians can't get along because they think differently about Jesus coming into the world. And that regardless, you have to look out for yourself because no one else is going to help. That again, that culture, that society formed the people in the time of the early church to again think and act in a certain way. But what we see in this passage we read for today, when we zoom out and look at the whole chapter, the author of Acts boldly claims that that isn't how the world works anymore. That the world no longer works that way because of what God has done through Jesus. That the author of Acts makes this bold claim that something happened when Jesus goes to the cross and when Jesus is raised to the tomb. And when we zoom out, what we see is as the early church is getting started, Peter and John are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, this good news of the forgiveness of sins, and the temple comes down on them to threaten them, to make them recant these confessions, that the temple priests and scribes and elders don't want this to be the news they proclaim. But Peter and John, no matter what the priests tell them, they don't change their confession. They continue this bold proclamation that they won't stop what they're doing. And as they return back to the church, we see this beautiful image of what the church is in the book of Acts. That as the church gathers together, they live differently in the world. Instead of separating from those who they don't agree with, the early church goes out and baptizes Samaritans, enemies of the Jews in the first century. They gather together to especially help those who cannot help themselves by selling off their property, pooling their resources together. It says in the book of Acts, it was distributed to each as any had need. That the church makes this bold confession that the world doesn't work that way anymore. That instead, this is the way the world works now. They make this bold confession, this bold proclamation, that instead of being formed only by the culture and society around us, instead of separating ourselves from those whom we disagree with, not helping those who struggle in this life, instead of only looking out for ourselves, Christ's work at the cross and Christ's work at the tomb changes the world and changes us. And as this bold confession becomes the reality of the church, as it goes through 2,000 years of existence, we don't have to go very far to see what God is doing through the Holy Spirit to continue to change the world around us and through us. We can come to this place, St. Paul Borchers, and look at the ministries we do for our community out in the narthex. Providing food for the food bank, providing supplies for the schools, providing supplies for the women's shelter. Even our quilting group, making quilts to provide for people in need throughout the world. That as a church, as a community, we gather with people we may not see entirely eye to eye on. We gather and help those who cannot help themselves. We come to this place and look out for one another. We distribute so that no one is ever in need of anything.
I think part of the reality, though, is that we may not always get it right, though. If we read past this beautiful image of the church, we read the following passages about how things always didn't go according to plan. That there were some who didn't fully join into this idea of church, and that there were even problems and divisions in that time. And the reality is we too probably won't always get it right. That we too are still formed in this culture and society that draws us away from this image of what the church can be and is in the world. That our culture and society, again, as we go into this election year, teaches us to isolate ourselves from those whom we disagree with, to turn our backs on those who are in need, to only look out for ourselves. But even though we won't always get it right, I think what this season of Easter, what this good news is that we have this constant reminder in these waters of our baptism. This constant reminder of what Jesus does at the cross for us. And what Jesus does at the tomb for us. Constant reminder that we are forgiven for what we have done and left undone. That we are raised into a new life, changed and transformed. To tell the world, no, that's not how the world works. And instead make this bold proclamation that this is the way the world works. And what these waters of our baptism remind us about is that God is on the move to continue to change and transform this world around us. To remember that even though we won't always get it right, we're invited back to these waters to remember that we can go forth and try again. And the beautiful part of that good news is that God is still changing and transforming this world around us and through us in our lives today. For Frederick Douglass, it was the end of the institution of slavery. That God worked through Frederick Douglass and the other abolitionists to bring an end to that horrible institution, to change the nation, to make this bold proclamation that no, the world no longer works in this way. And for us today, that change is happening around us and through us wherever God calls out to us, wherever God invites us in this place or out in our lives today to come and follow him into the world. To again make that bold proclamation that the world doesn't have to work that way. That instead the world can work this way. Because God is at work. Because Christ is at work around us and through us today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, who changes and transforms the world around us and through us, we give you thanks for the witness and boldness of faith of the early church, who through action challenged the way the world works. Help us to remember that you also change and transform us through these waters of our baptism, to lead us out into the world to do things differently, to love our enemies, to serve the poor, to help the stranger, just as Christ did these things for us. In the name of your Son, who has defeated sin and death at the cross and the tomb. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.